Hey, welcome to Tone Talk with Mark Uzansky and Dave Friedman. It is Ask Dave number 15. Number 15. I hear myself. Did you pause it?
Yep.
All right. So
it literally like doesn't come up on the screen for a second and the show starts even. So.
I hate that.
Right. I wish you could do it beforehand.
I know. I don't know why it happens that way.
Yeah.
But there's Ben Coombs. What's up, Ben? It was nice being on your show.
What up, Ben?
I see we already have super chats and questions and stuff. We'll get to them soon, guys. So leading off, there was a question from Randy Price. We were just talking about it offline. This is a back picture of Edward Van Halen's super lead, and there was what looked like a switch or a pot or something back there. And Dave, we have talked about this in the past. So do you want to address that, Dave?
No one knows.
Yeah.
No one knows at all. It could have been, that was really early, could have been a leftover something from when it was at the Pasadena Rose Palace's amp. Could have been anything. It was gone real fast. So whatever it was, obviously it didn't want to be kept.
And so, what was there just a hole left in that?
Yeah, there's a hole with a screw in it left. They just put a screw and a bolt through it.
Right.
Just a dead hole. Yeah. So no one really has that answer.
Right. Because he said that was a picture from Sunset Sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the first album, I assume.
Maybe the first album. Probably. So that's, that's real early.
Yep. Okay. All right. We were also talking about your recent, your amp on, the Malcontents, Stephen Fryett show.
Yes. The one they keep forgetting to turn off the vocal mic when they start playing. Every time they start playing, they forget to turn off the vocal mic and it sounds, like horrible, then they turn it off and it sounds okay. But like he said, they didn't get scientific with trying to get a great sound out of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was fun.
Yep. I watched a bit of it. I haven't watched the whole thing. Let's see what else. There's been a lot of guitar news and stuff recently. I'm sure we'll get to some of it. I saw today that Orange released some pedals. I saw. What do you think of those?
I don't know. They're kind of
big.
Kind of big and ugly. I don't know. It didn't really look like much.
They sound nice. I mean, I was watching an Andertons video where they were playing it. They sounded good. Sounded like decent pedals, but just weird. Just big and ugly, like you said.
Yeah. No, I mean I don't know what they sound like. I didn't listen or see or anything.
They sounded pretty good.
I just saw them. I'm sure they're cool.
Yeah, they sounded pretty good. I'm sure. Just weird that they were so big. We got another super chat right off the bat. Mark Lavinish. What's up, Mark? Can you discuss the phase inverted tubes and how they contribute to the overdriven tone in some amps and maybe why are they used in some amps and not others?
They're mostly used in every amp. How does it contribute? It doesn't really contribute necessarily to overdrive. I mean, technically, yes, you distort a phase inverter tube if you're cranking your amp, at least in some amps. It more contributes to kind of power, solid sort of power.
Do Fender amps have them?
Yeah. Pretty much every amp has a phase inverter tube.
Oh, okay.
Or at least all the most common ones do. Well, no, everything really has some sort of phase inverter tube. There's different styles and different kinds.
Is it usually a 12AX7 or
sometimes AT7s, sometimes 12AX7s. Fender's more AT7s or AX7s, and yeah. So yeah. So I mean, the phase inverter is more like how much power is going to, how efficient it's going to be power wise, and how it's going to drive the output tubes. So a weaker tube there will give you less volume on your amp, even a little bit. So a lot of times, like long plate tubes are good for that. They have a lot of current and drive, and I, you know, just listen, see if you like something different than others.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Matt Johnson, what's up? And thank you, Dave. How would you describe the difference between a Laney Super Group and a Marshall Super Lead? Are there major circuit differences, or does it mostly the Partridge transformers that Laney used?
A Super Group, at least in architecture, is very similar to a Marshall. There's some different values and some different things there. But it is the transformers a little bit, but it's also that generally speaking, the super groups have a huge high plate voltage, so they're brutal on tubes, and there's circuit changes and actually in the amp that don't make it exactly like a Marshall.
I've never played one.
Oh, they can be really cool. You can also tweak them more like a Marshall. They're pretty brutal, like loud, really loud. Hmm. Yeah. And they there's a cool video Pete Thorne did on a Music City amp, which is a super group. It was like an offshoot, like Park was of Marshall. So if you go out there and watch his video and you get an idea what it sounds like.
Cool. Right. That's a good question. What are the most common mistakes people make when building a wet, dry, wet rig? From Gertha 1134.
Yeah. I sort of answered him, her or him, in the chat, but essentially, I would say that the number one mistake is phase in the wet cabinets. So if you have dry in the wet cabinets, you need a pedal that doesn't convert the dry sound to digital and back. Otherwise, you have a phase issue. Your two dry sounds from your center cabinet and outside cabs will be slightly out of phase with each other. That's the biggest thing. So a lot of times you use a mixer with some of the effects you're using. It really depends on what effects you're using. You know, like a DD500 has an analog drive path. Strymans have analog drive paths. Old SDE3000s have analog drive paths. So this really isn't an issue. But like Eventide H9 does not have an analog drive path. And the Keeley Halo has an analog drive path. So that's some of the main things. I would have to know more what you're trying to do if you want a little more detailed on it.
Yeah,
but if they're 100% wet, then that doesn't matter. Yeah, but that's not the rock, the kind of the big three cabinet rock way to do it. Like Eddie Van Halen and all those guys, they all had the dries and the outside cabs also.
Yeah.
So when all the effects were off, it's three dry cabs, same volume.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I have the my setup for the wet, dry, wet. So, okay, cool. Let's see. the wife whisperers in the building. from the Jake E. Lee video. let's see. One more question. How close is the new stainless steel Steve Stevens V2 clean to your Bucks and Betty clean in your BBHB Synergy module? Any chance of a Steve Stevens V2 Synergy module?
Probably not a module. I wouldn't think, because really he's a Friedman artist, not a Synergy artist. And the clean, it's different. The SS clean is a little different than the Bucks and Betty. It has a similar architecture, meaning it is sort of a Fender style circuit, but it's definitely a little different. Might be a little leaner in the low end, even a little cleaner, maybe.
Hmm. Okay. Michael Nielsen. What's up, Michael?
Hey.
Hip Metal Works. I don't know who that is, but I like the name. Well, speaking of that, that reminds me of our sponsors.
Speaking of metal.
Speaking of metal, exactly. So fixpedalboards.com. Make sure you guys check out fixpedalboards.com. Our buddy Tim.
And there's going to be some new stuff released pretty shortly. So that'll be cool.
Yep. And also Sweetwater. We're not showcasing anything this particular show for them, but just check out Sweetwater, our link below, if you want to buy anything and want to help out the channel. So if you're planning on buying, you know, like a awesome guitar, and just use our link or an amp or whatever.
Or like we always say, a Bricosti reverb.
Yep.
Or, oh, I don't know, some API recording console. Or,
yes.
You know, or I wonder what the most expensive thing they have on their website is. We should figure that out.
I wonder how you could do that. Let me go to their site.
It's probably like a piano or something.
It probably is, but it's got to be like over
20. Or if you'd like to buy a piano.
Search Sweetwater. But they make you search a category. That's the
thing. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you can't just like search the whole site and then just figure out what's the most expensive thing. John's Guitars. I don't know what's up with Bogner. I haven't heard anything. No one answers the phones. You're lucky if someone does. Just got my amp back, but received no return shipping info. I had to email George to get it. Don't know.
I don't know. I mean, they're still there. I know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the deal is. They have no working website either.
No, they don't.
No.
Wow.
It's kind of a mess.
Well, hopefully, John, you'll get in touch with them. Wish we could help. Randy Price, we asked your question if you missed it, buddy. So let's see. Sessions with Jeff. Hey, guys, hope you're doing well. Thanks for the super chat. Dave, please tell us about a design you had to drive to complete, but gave you the most satisfaction when you pulled it off. A design you had to drive to complete?
You mean like that was hard or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any one thing that was that difficult to, I mean, where it was a real ball buster, you know? They're all kind of fun. So, you know, and the latest one is generally gives me the most satisfaction. So whatever that is, I mean, there's something new coming out that probably had a little bit of drive to complete. So, but I can't say anything yet. So sorry.
All right. Yeah, but I had imagined that, you know, something had to like along the way had to like perplex you to the point where you were like, fuck, how do I get this done? Was it a rig or?
Oh, I mean, yeah, probably somewhere. I just off the top of my head, I'm just can't
think of it.
Can't think of it. Think of, you know, that happens regularly. I mean, you know, rigs and stuff, especially, you know.
Yeah.
But less and less the longer the minute, you know, that's where experience comes in, right? So like an experienced tech or person or rig builder that has many years of experience has run into everything, has already been through that. They already know what not to do or, right. You know, what's going to cause a problem. And you kind of nip that right in the butt right at the beginning, you know. Someone that doesn't have a lot of experience has no idea, then puts it together and all sorts of problems. All sorts of problems.
I'm sure it happens all the time.
But like, you know, when you've been building rigs for 30 years, you've seen a lot.
Right.
You know, so
I imagine.
Yeah.
Paul Crane, I just got some PS Vane ECC 83s. They aren't bad.
No, they're really good, actually.
You know, it's funny. One of our last discussions when we were talking about putting KT-88s in the BE-100,
mm-hmm.
I went looking at tubes, you know, just buy a quad of them. I was like, wow, it's like $400. three to $400 to buy a quad of...
Yeah, especially KT-88s will be expensive.
Yeah, I was like, geez. All right, I'm going to hold off on that.
Maybe not.
I was like, that's an experiment that I don't really need to do right now.
You know? Right.
I mean, it's not like that big of a deal, but I'd rather spend $400 on something else. But yeah, so even the PS Vanes were somewhere around $350 or something like
that. Yeah.
So they were expensive.
It's not cheap.
Nope, it was not. What's up, Ben? Thanks again for being a moderator. I think BV wrote me and said he couldn't moderate the show. So he was traveling or something like that. Alex C. Dave, I just bought a Freeman Gold 72 wah pedal and it's awesome. I love the sweep switch. Where did the No More Tears name come from? Great show. Thank you.
Well, the No More Tears name came from the fact that Crybaby.
Right.
So we did a little play, No More Tears, you know. That's really where that came from, you know.
That's funny. Although it just made me think immediately of Ozzy Osbourne.
Why? Yeah, yeah, true. But
Jason Tong, Jafriat show was very cool, great subject, and Steve was very generous with his knowledge. What's up, Jason?
Absolutely. Hey, Jason. Great. What's going on? Jason's always here.
Yeah, Jason.
Apparently, Jason has no life.
Hey, it's the morning for him. He's good.
That's true. That's why he's always here, because it is the morning for him, probably.
What's up, Amanda?
Before his day starts, really.
L. Scott Music. What's up, buddy?
Hello, man.
Dave, do you mod PV6505s?
Oh, no. Nope. Other than really simple things like maybe like a little bias mod or something like that. It's a decent amp. You know, put some good tubes in it, bias it properly, and it's just pretty good.
Okay. DSL. Thank you. Hey guys, love the show. Thank you. When building a new amp, do you do anything special to form the capacitors?
No, they're all new, brand new capacitors and stuff. You don't need to form them. They're already formed.
Meaning to actually develop them and make like new capacitors for specifically for the amp, or is
no. Forming like voltage forming, like
I see.
Electrolytics where you bring up the amp. No, we put the boards in, we turn it on. And then see if it doesn't work.
Oh, okay. That's a word, yeah. Word I was not familiar with. Forum capacitors. Interesting. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Good idea for really old amps, you know, to bring something on slowly. And
so you use a Variac basically to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to really do that is sort of do it without the tubes in it, and then bring it up really slowly, like start at 10 volts and leave it there for a while, and bring it up another 10 volts, and then over time.
This made me laugh. So Danny M says, hey, do you think you can get Zach Wild on here? And then right below is Zach Sabbath. He says, Zach Mild is right here.
I'm working on getting Zach. I had texted him about it and he didn't respond. I don't know if he has a new phone number or something, but I have to look into that.
Yeah.
He cool would there. Generally respond to me, but, or maybe he didn't notice. I'm not sure. I have a new phone.
KGS 1982, thanks for the super chat. I don't see your question, but if I find it, I will. Hey, Bruce Egnator is here. What's up, Bruce?
What's going on, Bruce?
Bruce is the man. I hear
he's the amp class man.
He is. His class. He had a class. I heard it had like 30 people in it, or more.
Oh, that was for the theory only, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He had a great I think Torin went to that.
Mike Torin went to that,
yeah. And Vinny, Mike Torin and the Vin Man.
I told a restaurant for Mike Torin to go to.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
I actually told him a list of restaurants and he maybe didn't pick my first pick, but it was definitely a good one.
That's cool. Yeah, I told Mike to go up to Vinny at the end. He went up to him the last day and said, hey. SG Lee. Hey, Dave, what's the word on the vintage series for Friedman cloning your 50 watt Marshall?
I'm starting to work on it now. I have to get a couple custom transformers, so that might hold me up a little bit. I mean, I can do everything else on it. It's just the Variac feature.
Oh, here's the question from KGS. Mark, I'm acquainted with the slow and BE on one side of you, and they both have just legendary tone, but how do you like that ombre on your other side? You guys have the best show on YouTube. Oh, thanks. I love the ombre. I mean, it's
ombre's killer.
Yeah, it's a great amp. It's different. It's completely different than obviously the Soldano and the Friedman on this side. yeah, I know. So whatever, the brain doesn't work. But yeah, I mean, it's a really cool, if you want that old brown face tone, crank it up. It's great. I've thought about replacing the speaker.
What speaker is in that one?
It's the V-Type.
Yeah, maybe.
I was thinking about putting a green back in it.
Yeah, that'd probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, how many watts is it? 20?
I think it's 20.
Yeah. Greenback probably be okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to break it. I don't think it would hurt it.
The V-Type is not my favorite. It's a little stiff sounding.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. Yeah,
a little stiff sounding, the V-Type. It's not bad, but it's just a little stiff sounding. I never could get my head around using one. I tried in the Suffer Lamps to see if we could use it, but I didn't really care for it.
But what do they use in the original Brown Faces? Weren't they just
some sort of Jensen speaker? Yeah. I don't know what exact one, but some sort of Jensen.
And would a Greenback do a good justice of
a Greenback? I know in a Fender Deluxe is amazing. So I mean, that's like a Brown Face Deluxe. So
yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, but the Ombre is a great amp. It really is. It's a little loud. So I put I have a Dr. Z brake light.
Air brake,
yeah. Or whatever the thing that it's got
knock it down a couple notches.
Yep. Just knock it down and It still sounds great. So it's a great amp.
Yeah. Air Brake's a cool little attenuator. That's good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Z.
Yep. He just came out with something new, the Z28, which I like the name. So, Nick H, when will Friedman guitars be available and shipping again?
They are still shipping, just very slowly. Mm. So they are technically available and shipping. It's like, you know, 20 a month, maybe. Mm. So maybe a little less even. So extremely slow right now. We aren't taking any custom orders for a while, though. We have to catch up and try to ramp up more. Mm.
So I saw Grover's coming out with came out with his own brand, OG guitars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you see that? You didn't see
the
that?
OG.
OG. That's the brand. They look similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So does Grover have anything to do with Friedman guitars?
Yeah, no, Grover's still doing some stuff for us. So
I thought he was doing the bodies or something like that, right?
He's still doing some stuff. Yeah. Might be doing some more in the future.
Oh, good. Good. We like Grover. Yeah, I thought the name OG guitars, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Weird. It's different. Why not? He is the OG.
Exactly. That actually is fitting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
So, Tobias Ryan. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for the show, guys. Saw Alice and Chains a couple weeks ago in Seattle, and it was so cool to come home, turn up my JJ Jr. and nail the tone. Thanks, Dave.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm sure they were great, especially at Mancini in Seattle. That must have been great.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely. Mark, have you tried any Rev amps yet? I have not, but speaking of Rev, I got the new Tilt pedal. Sean Tubbs. Mm-hmm. Yep. So very cool pedal. I actually was running that pedal through my Ombre. Sounded very cool. And I reached out to them, and Dan and Sean will most likely be coming on the show.
That'll be awesome. I know Dan.
Yep. So I reached out to
the first 42 Gear Street. We hung out a little.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice guy. I think I met him at NAMM once.
Yeah.
But I was communicating with Derek.
Yeah. I know his business partner. Yeah. Yep. Derek Moore. Mm-hmm.
So Derek said, yeah, they'd love to come on. So we'll definitely have them. I have not tried. I actually was really interested in getting either the G or D20 amps. Mm-hmm. I thought they were cool. But I haven't tried them, though.
It's a funny thing. I have not ever plugged into one either.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've never actually seen one in my world.
Yeah, that's basically it. I've never just had the opportunity to plug into one. When it was at NAMM, you know, like I could have, but they didn't have a left-handed guitar, and then bringing a left-handed guitar over there to try one of their amps, it just would have been a big pain in the ass. So,
right.
Look who's in the chat. Justin Bryant. What's up, Justin?
Hello, Justin.
Dave, the Mogami 2314 with the SP400s are killer. Thanks for recommending them. Any tricks with the SP4 connectors? They're assholes.
Why are they assholes? I use them all the time and never had any problem with it. Just curious. Follow that up.
So this is a cable, I imagine?
I mean, the Gami 2314 is the same audio cable that I use for most pedal boards. And the square plug ends. SP400s are the flat square plugs. Uh-huh. And SP4s are the little tiny straights.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've never had any problems with the SP4s. They work fine for me.
Those are the tiny flat square ones?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The SP400s are the tiny flat square ones. And then the SP4s are short straights.
Oh, I see.
Little short straights.
Okay. Well, thanks for the question, Justin. G-Man Music. Dave, are the Rocktron Velocity power amps a good option for an at-home wet, dry, wet setup?
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty cool, and that would work pretty well for that, sure, especially at home. Yeah, absolutely.
I use my Moss Valve.
The old Moss Valves are cool.
Yeah, that thing can't kill that.
The Velocities were pretty cool when they first came out. They might still be making some of those. What else is good for that? You know, there seems to be really a shortage on the market of power amps.
It's true.
It's just not used that much anymore, you know. You know, as far as tube ones, you have various Fryette ones, of course. Those are great, including the One Space one. You have the Synergy One Space. But, you know, that's heavy. Has a loud fan. Mm. Matrix power amps still exist. They work well for the wet, dry, wet thing. But, yeah, you can find a Moss Valve for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Think.
Yeah, you can still find them for, I think, $300 less.
Perfect.
Zach Sabbath. Does that discount for fixed pedal board still work? Tone Talk 15?
It should, I think.
Yeah. I don't think Tim didn't tell us it wasn't.
Yeah. Try it.
Yeah. Reach out to him. Mr. Anderson, I always think of The Matrix with this name. You ever watch The Matrix?
See, I always think of my third grade teacher that was Mrs. Anderson.
Oh, really?
Yes. She was young, pretty. For the life of me, I don't quite remember exactly what she looks like, but I remember that much.
That's cool. Yeah, I always think of the guy from The Matrix, Mr. Anderson. Mark, after watching an older episode, you were thinking of buying a Boss GE10, and I ended up buying two. My wallet thanks you. Dave was right. Whatever amp I plug into, it just gets better.
Yeah, so, I have two. I got stuck with two. Not stuck. I'm happy I have them.
That's just a graphic equalizer, right?
Mm-hmm. I should sell you one.
But I have the 7.
No, this is the old one.
Oh, the old one. That's right.
This is the old big Boss one that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to buy it.
I hope to one day build a clone of that. That's an idea in my head. Mm-hmm. Like any one-to-one clone, but smaller.
Well, no one's done that.
Yeah, that would be cool. I also want to build a PQ3 also.
Hmm.
In a foot pedal, in a stomp box.
Well, if you want to sell me your GE10, I'd buy it.
Yeah, let me dig it out. I have two of them, so I don't need two.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Anderson. Thanks for that, and also for the reminder to get that from Dave.
one more thing to put in your room.
Why not?
Black along with all the combos and the
I know I'm running out of room in this place.
You need a new room for you need a big room.
I need a new house. But that's another story. Blackstrap Blues. Hey Dave, love your Two Notes cab pack. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Hope to see a 4x12 with EV12 sometime in the future.
To sell or for a cab pack,
like a cab pack
I recording think. There might be another cab pack sometime in the future of different cabs and different mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. Ben, I'd hate to see the shipping costs on a piano. Can you imagine?
Freight.
Yeah,
it's a big crate.
I was I'll tell you, I was really shocked with Sweetwater when they sent me the 5150 Iconic. Mm-hmm. And it was damaged, and I let them know about it, they overnighted me another one, just overnight.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that's not a small amp.
No,
you know, it's, and it's heavy. And I was like, I wasn't even expecting it, to come that quickly. Like it came the next day. I was like, holy shit. They were, I mean,
that's
expensive. I was like that. They put some money into that. Even just getting it out to me overnight. You know, it's,
they have some sort of special
deal, I'm sure,
with the shippers. I don't know what the deal is, but there's, you know, the way they offer sometimes fast shipping and stuff, it, there's got to be some sort of special deal, because that would cost a lot to one day.
Yeah,
like a lot.
I would
like on a normal like FedEx account or something.
Yeah, else. I mean at like, least $200-$300
more.
Yeah,
it's it crazy. Used to be that way. Now it's like ahead. If you were to one day ahead, it's at least $500.
Really,
or wow. More. And a combo like that, that's got to be more than that.
Yeah, I was shocked.
I mean, the average shipping cost for a head now is $130, let's say.
For regular, just...
Regular ground.
Ground, yeah.
You know, crazy. Somewhere, most places in the U.S., at least that I ship to. It's around that price.
I remember I had the 5150, the white 5150 that had, you know, that... The Fender had just came out with. I had that with the matching cab, and for some reason, like an idiot, at some point I decided to sell it, and I sold it through eBay, and I had to ship it to the guy. The head was one thing, but the 4x12 cab, I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. I'll never do that again, ever. Gertha with another question. What are some warning signs you need to replace your preamp tube on a ADA MP1 or Marshall JMP1 or other rack preamps of that era?
Either one of those barely even uses the preamp tubes. So there are no warning signs. I would think never. Unless the tube just up and dies.
And then it wouldn't work, basically?
It wouldn't work then, but, it, you know. Because the majority of both of those units are all solid state.
Yeah. Personally, for me, since I have both, I like the JMP1 better.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah,
it's definitely a better piece of gear. The 80, it's cool to have the ADA. I like it more for like the clean tones.
You know, it always amazed me. Like the JMP1 was a great, great preamp. It sounded really great. And it always amazed me that they never actually just did that in a head.
Mm-hmm.
MIDI. Just the same thing in a head. Why not?
Right. Be awesome.
That would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood why that never happened. That was a... Because that, I think the JMP1 preamp sounds better than almost all their heads. All their more modern day heads.
Yeah, it has a lot of options too. It's just
got and I didn't understand why that didn't go ahead.
What year did they produce the JMP1? Was that 80s or 90s? Was
it? I don't remember when it started. Might have been late 80s started. I want to say.
I'm glad I got one because the prices have jumped on those.
What hasn't the prices jumped on?
True.
Prices have jumped
on everything.
On everything.
Yeah. Lefty Mike. Tone Talk. Dave, ground loop hum problem running four cable method. Yep. Lifting the ground at the wall with the adapter did not work, but an isolation box did. Was this then not ground loop hum?
Four cable method of with what? That's what I really need to know. I don't know if it's like a modeler unit or a line six or something. Yeah, there's all sorts of ground loop issues. So tell me specifically and I can tell you more. No, you'd want to keep your amp grounded and probably you're going to have an isolation box somewhere, or you can cut grounds on cables. It You have to tell me what it is you're trying to do.
Yeah, because we did that on my Helix Effects.
Yeah.
Where I was running that, and I cut the ground on a couple of the ends of the cables, and that helped it substantially. Still didn't take it all away, but it helped. It helped most of it. Okay. All right. Good, Randy. I'm glad you got your answer. Dave, do you have a preferred noise suppressor pedal?
I'm going to go and say again, what are you trying to cut the noise of? Ones that I like. I mean, a decimator can be cool. Like a G-string decimator can be cool. The SmartGate, MXR SmartGate, can be cool. The little baby decimator can be cool. It just that would depend on what you're trying to hush and what's the noise problem.
Okay. Ian Ferguson, they have a Neve mixer that's over $195,000.
Yes. So if anyone wants to buy a Neve mixer, please use our code.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
I knew someone would be on this and let us know what's the most expensive thing in Sweetwater. It might not be even the most expensive, but at least that's plenty expensive.
That's expensive.
So if you're building a studio and want this Neve mixer.
Is anyone else seeing a grain looking video?
No.
I don't know. It looks pretty clear to me.
Might be your connection.
Let's see. David Cox. Darn it. Just seen this was live and I have to go to work. Oh, well, something to look forward to in the morning.
Oh, bummer.
Too bad, man. Well, giving a shout out, though, David Cox. Thank you. Let's see. What's Dave's opinion of the Maleco Echo 616 analog delay?
Man, I haven't heard one of those in a long time. I was like, Maleco Echo. Oh, yeah, that one. I haven't heard one in so long. I don't know if I have an opinion anymore. I seem to remember it being cool. But I can't remember really. It doesn't really stand out as like I have to have it kind of thing. I would remember that. I would hope.
Is that a rack? Was it a rack thing?
No, it was a pedal.
Oh, okay. I've never seen one. Lefty Mike, looking forward to having Psionic Audio on the show. Great channel. Yeah. We got to email him again. That's Lyle, right?
Where are you, Lyle?
I emailed you twice, Lyle.
What happened?
Yeah.
Radio silence, and you were talking to us, and then nothing.
Yeah, email me.
What happened?
I don't know.
I'll try to hit him up.
Yeah. We emailed Lyle and haven't heard back yet, but maybe he got busy, or maybe it went into spam, or who the hell knows.
We'll figure it out. We'll get him on eventually here.
Nathaniel Person, Dave, when did you hit the fuck it moment working for someone else and decide to build the amp company? I would thoroughly enjoy your mindset on the entrepreneurial spirit. When did you hit the fuck it moment?
Well, you know what? I've always worked for myself pretty much. I mean, I haven't not worked for myself since like 1992 or something. So, I've done collaborations and other designs with people in the past. I just finally decided to make amps. So I'm a guy, I'm a guy that's always motivated to do things. Like I, ever since I was a kid, it was always like, you know, I would strive to learn as much as I can about whatever subject I was that was interesting. You know, at the time. And I'm still that way. So I feel like I'm still constantly learning, and that's good.
That is good.
You know?
That is good. So when you started your own stuff, was that the rack systems?
Building rigs, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that would have been, I don't know, 92-ish, 93-ish on my own completely. I was building rigs before then, but.
Yeah, Sweetwater has pianos over 100,000.
Excellent. So if you need a piano or Neve console.
Yes,
please. Where are your people? Please use our code.
Yeah, let us know. Dave, can you share your experiences working with John Sykes, amp gear from Rox Leone?
Man, John is awesome. He's a cool guy. I wish he'd agree to come on the show because he sure told me some good stories. Mm. Some great stories. So, I worked on a few of his amps. Worked on a Jose he had that needed a lot of love. And I worked on a couple other 50-watt Marshalls that he wanted just like EVH stock style. And he wound up loving those. Hmm. So, there's not much more to tell. He didn't sit here and play or anything. You know, he takes them home and checks them out. And
that's too bad. Text
me back and goes, "That was great."
That's too bad. It'd be great to see him play though, right?
Yeah, it would.
Beast FU. Can you explain why some people crave or insist on power amp distortion while your amps can achieve similar results with preamp distortion? And thanks for the super chat.
Okay. Yes, you can, I've done this. You can make an amp with preamp distortion that sounds very similar to, something with, cranking an amp or power amp or phase inverter distortion, whatever you want to call it. But what you don't get is there's a feel, a sort of a feel and a dynamics that come with the less gain amp that you crank up than the gain amp that's simulating the sound of that cranked up amp. There's just a feel to it. It's hard to explain. There, when you smack it really hard, it really barks at you, and then when you back it off lightly with your hands, it just, you know, totally backs off, and it cleans up totally different. It's much more dynamic.
Okay.
Yes, you can get really close. It's not exactly the same though.
I think it also depends on the style of music, obviously, that you're playing. Because I think a lot of guys these days for like thrash metal and stuff like that, I think they
just use a modeler.
Well, they use a modeler, yeah. But I don't know. I've been watching some.
They use a modeler with my amps.
True.
On it.
That's true. But I was going to say that, you know, some of them like more of the power distortion. You know, power.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, you might say that it's becoming a lost concept.
Yeah.
And the more the years go on.
True.
Although it shouldn't be forgotten. So I'm coming out with vintage stuff.
Fantastic. Rob Cunningham. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Happy Friday, Dave. I sent you a care package this week.
Oh, you did? I was wondering about that.
Yes, he sent me one too. Thank you. I got mine.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Rob. I am stocked on strings. Let's see. L. Scott Music. I'm here. I have a life, sort of. My mouse is not working. I'm living the life. Yeah, you have a life.
You're living a life.
You're living. Seems Zach is really busy these days. Well, he just did something with Ozzy, I saw. Mm-hmm. Again. I couldn't imagine. I was like, Ozzy has another album?
Yeah.
It's so funny because people always blame Sharon. They're just like, oh, Sharon's putting them to work again. They need more money. But I wonder how much of it is really him, that he really wants to go out there and still continue.
He addressed that. He said, no. He goes, I just love making music. So,
yeah, that's good.
He gets his mind off his all his other medical problems.
Yeah, I actually saw him. He was out to dinner with Rob Trujillo and a whole bunch of people. So I'm glad Ozzy's still around. He's a legend in my eyes. So, Swizz 871. Hey guys, I've loved another episode with Pearls of Wisdom from James Santiago. I managed to get 2 silver M160s after the last episode.
Oh yeah, James is full of pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, I'd love to have great. Definitely. That was a great show with James, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably the first guy who played on our show.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because he had his setup also. Dave, what's your favorite placement of an extra tube in a 2203-2204 from long silvers?
What do you mean? Favorite placement of an extra tube? I'm not sure what you're asking there. Like where the extra tube will go? I don't know. Before the first tube. I guess it depends on what circuit you're making.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that depend?
It depends, of course. That's our t-shirt. It
depends. Exactly. Oh, my wife wants to know if I want anything from Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, she's a bad influence. Yes.
Well, yes.
Yes, 2 chocolate frosted. 2 chocolate frosted for me. I shouldn't do it though.
Apple fritter.
Oh, wow. Although Boston creams are always good too.
I don't go for that. Well, first of all, I never eat donuts.
I only go when she wants to grab.
Like literally, I might have a donut once every year. And I avoid it like the plague. Yeah. But if I had to, it would be the little buttermilk cake like things with a little clear icing on it.
Yeah.
Glazed. That are real kind of dense, or apple fritter.
Mm.
I showed my son an apple fritter for the first time and he was like, oh my God. Wait, this is so much better.
I want more. That's funny. Yeah, no, I normally don't like to eat donuts, but she must be crazy.
Oh, they take that back. The only other time I would have a donut is if I'm in Michigan and it's in the fall. There's a cider mill called the Franklin Cider Mill. And they have the most amazing fresh, hot cinnamon donuts.
Mm.
You know, a little greasy, fresh out of the fryer. Just, man. Some apple cider. It's cold out. Perfect.
That's awesome. Josh Lamas. Hey, Dave, which amp of yours do you recommend for 80s Lukather and Dan Huff tones? I don't want to spend the $4,000 on a 3+ CE or X88R preamp. Clean to mean. Which amp of yours?
Okay, you're gonna want a really good clean sound. So I don't know, maybe the BE50. Get you a great clean sound for that 80s kind of clean. Would get you, you know, a good crunch Marshall-y kind of tone. And then, you know, a hotter lead sound. I think that would be probably pretty good, along with, of course, some added effects that you would need for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yep, I would agree.
I was just thinking of like a 3-channel amp I have that has the clean and all that stuff. So that would be the one amp that I would say does that.
Makes sense. David Lee. Dave, my wife wants you to know that my JJ Jr. is her favorite amp. Sounds great and looks beautiful in her words. Oh, that's nice.
Awesome.
It's always nice when the wife buys in, you know? question for Dave about the Freedman Mini. Can I use the return of the effects loop to go straight into a recording interface? If so, could that apply to other mini amps?
You mean the send of the effects loop? And yes, you could. You could just use the send of the effects loop and go directly into an interface. You don't need to have a load on the amp or anything. And yes, any of the other mini amps from Boutique. Soldano, VH, Bogner, all of them.
Cool. JTG, this is a good question. Mark or David, ever have a guitar refretted? Was it worth it?
Well, I've had many guitars refretted. Yeah, as long as the person you're going to that does the refret is a great luthier and does great refrets. Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why I've been holding off. I've got a Les Paul that could use a refret. At least I think so. The frets are really...
And you're in Florida.
Why would that make a difference?
No, I mean like the luthier part.
Oh, yeah, the luthier part. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, I don't. But there's a place down, it's about an hour and a half away called Wolf's Guitars. They have a Plec machine also.
Oh, okay. Well, they probably do a good job then, maybe.
Yeah, so I may bring it to them, but I've been holding off. So no, I haven't, but so for you, Dave, it was worth it if you.
Oh yeah. I mean, but I go to really good people to do it. So that I know do a great job.
Stephen Douglas, many Nashville guys swear by V30s and a deluxe. Huh.
Okay. Yeah. V30s. I mean, I know, I remember when Mike Landau used to use pro amps, pro reverbs. He had vintage 30s in it early on. I think that's a good sound. That can be a great sound.
Okay. Here's Vinny. I'm exhausted, but Richie Kotzen is playing in Jersey tomorrow night about an hour away. Am I going? Can we take a vote? I love Richie and have never seen him. You should go.
Oh, you should definitely go see Richie. Definitely. Is it just Richie?
Yeah, I was going to say. Or is it
Richie Kotzen? Or is it the...
I forget the name of that band that he's in.
Smith Cotton.
Oh.
With Adrian Smith.
But he also had another band he was doing with Mike Portnoy.
Oh.
Which I can't remember, but.
Yeah, go see Richie Cotton. He sings great.
Yeah, he's great.
And plays great, of course. But.
Jay Carriaga. Thank you. Steve Fryette did a whole show on forming caps. And any news when Dan Huff will be on?
Another one that disappeared off our radar.
Yeah, I tried to reach out. He said he would do it, and then
disappeared.
Silence. So I can try to reach out to him again. I think I didn't. I email him. Was I the one emailing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He answered once.
He did.
Yeah,
that's what I remembered. Yeah,
yeah.
I just got busy with work too. So I just haven't, like, it's tough, you know, when you reach out to somebody and then, like, it'd be a lot easier if you can just get it. Cause then if it requires me having to go back and resend emails and rethink about, like, who hasn't answered me yet, it starts slipping through the cracks.
Yeah.
So
we'll keep trying.
Yep. Sessions with Jeff. Awesome. Looking forward to seeing Sean Tubbs on Tone Talk. Sean is probably our one of our all-stars. He's probably come on more than most people.
Yeah.
I love Sean. Great guy.
It might be time for another George Metropolis show too.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Second show. I think he was the second show.
It's been a long, long time. It's time for maybe again.
Let's
see what George is up to. See what new things he has coming out. All that good stuff.
I'd love to do that. He's a good guy. He can tell us about the latest drink.
Yeah, I mean, the first time he came on, I was thinking that we might not talk about amps. Going into a dissertation on scotch.
Let's see. Any other super chat questions? What are we doing here? Where are rev amps made? I think they're in Canada, right?
Canada.
Yep. Can't be Canada. They make good stuff. John Gormas inherited an old Marshall JMP-100 a few years back. Dave, we talked on the phone about mods and you talked me out of it. Just had it dated. It's a 69. Thank you for being honest and smarter than me.
Oh, yeah. 69. You wouldn't want a mod. Come on. Just keep it stock and buy a Fryatt power station. PS-100.
As long as it was stock already, then just leave it.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's so many people have modded those things. It's crazy.
I mean, you know, when an old amp's already been modded up and you know, kind of halfway destroyed anyway, I mean, okay, well, we could do something, but yeah, no, just get a power station, crank it.
Anyone have opinions on the Catlin Bread Talisman? I have not tried one.
Which one is the Talisman?
I don't know.
Which I always, is that? What is
these,
that?
These pedals always... let's see. It's a plate reverb pedal. I'm looking.
I haven't heard that one. I've heard some other pedals, and they're quite good. So...
Okay.
Bruce Eggnator. Jason Tong is well-known in the DIY world. He would be interesting. You missed that show, Bruce.
Yeah, we had him on.
We had Jason on already.
That was a good show. Are those vintage GE10s noisy?
No. There's an ever so slight bit of hum from the transformer that's in the pedal.
I choke to death here.
That's your last little COVID coughs.
Oh my god, no, I sipped a little wrong there. All right, no, so those are the ones that Ed used, right? The GE10.
Yeah. I mean, so the GE10 is not really noisy. There's an ever so slight little background hum when you're putting it in front of an amp
or a hiss.
No, it's not hissy at all.
No,
not at all.
It's more of a hum,
way less hissy than a lot of the other EQ pedals. It just sounds good, and you, no matter where you put the faders, it just sounds good. It just never gets bad in any position. You can almost go crazy with it, and it never gets really bad. It's always smooth sounding.
How do I get a Friedman volume pedal?
Man, you know, I've thought about a volume pedal for years. The problem is, often the problem is just the assembly itself, the what you're going to use for the metal assembly, and what are you going to use for the volume pot, and it's got to be really smooth, and it's the Boss volume pedals work great, so I mean, I don't think you can improve upon that.
Ben says my room's starting to look like his. Yeah, it's getting there. It's I don't think I can fit much more, seriously.
I like look at the guitars I have in the wall, and then I basically play one guitar.
Really?
Well, there's one guitar sitting right next to my bench, and that's the guitar I test and work with in there all the time.
You don't switch around?
Rarely. I like to think I would, but I
rarely do. I'm pretty good at rotating. I'm like, oh, I'll play this one this week, or I'll play this one today.
Yeah,
kind of rotate. You know what's interesting? I don't know about anybody else, but I went to look into getting insurance on my collection of guitars and amps and stuff like that. I don't know if anybody else has ever looked into this. I had collector's insurance because of my comic books. Mm-hmm. But when I got rid of those, I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe I'll transfer this policy to cover guitars and amps. And the company does. The name of the company is called Collect Insure. Mm-hmm. And they cover all kinds of things. But the interesting part of the policy that I was like, I don't know if I'm not going to go against it, was that you can't play them. So they're supposed to be expensive items. So you're not supposed to play them. So I was like, well,
there's other insurances you can get.
I was like, what if I am playing them? And she's like, well, you have to let them know. I was like, yeah, I forget it.
Right.
Forget about it. So I'll just insure them on my homeowner's policy. But there's probably something else you can. If anybody knows, let me know in the chat about what insurance they may use to cover their gear. Let's see. Alex C, Sweetwater rocks. Yes, they do. The Rev D20 sounds killer with a Freedman small box pedal, and the Captor X is great for recording. Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I've heard that's a good amp. Prog Pogs, thank you. Dave, this is a two-parter. Where were you in your career at 30? And two, if I put a curse on you that made you an 18-year-old in Detroit again, how are you getting back into the music industry?
Oh, geez. where was I in my career at 30? Well, I'll have to actually think about when that was. let's see. When was I 30? I was born in 1968. So what year that would have? So
it's like 20 years ago.
2000? No, 98 or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for myself. I was working at Rack Systems. I probably had already partnered with Bruce Eggnator on early Eggnator stuff. That's passed by then. I don't know what else was going on right then. I can't quite remember, but I was doing the same thing I've been doing for the last 30 years. Mm.
And then how would you get back into the music industry if he made you 18 again in Detroit?
Man, I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea not to. I have no idea. I don't know. Now, if I was 18 again in Detroit now, or would I go back to when I was 18 in 1987 or something? That's the question.
It'd be easier in 1987.
And would I, if I went back to Detroit and I was 18 again, and it was in 1987, do I still have the money I have now? Because if so, I'm going to go buy a bunch of stuff. And sock it away in a closet.
Right. No doubt. Funny question. Rusty Shackleford. Thank you.
That's making me really think.
Replacing my G12 T75's harsh highs. Can you recommend a speaker for classic rock metal? I don't know the difference between green and creamback versions.
Classic rock and metal. Well, a lot of classic rock guys would want greenbacks, but a lot of metal guys would want vintage 30s. So maybe you should buy a Friedman cabinet and put both in. or just install those in your cab. That's a good blend. Kind of gives you a little best of both worlds, sort of.
Kevin K. Hey, guys. Love the show. Wondering what modern TS-10 clone you would recommend.
I would recommend getting the JHS. What is it? The
Banzai.
Banzai, because it has everything in it.
And I was going to say it has a TS-10 clone.
It does. It does have a TS-10 in it, and it has every other tube screamer known to mankind in it.
It's a great pedal.
It sounds great.
That was going to be my recommendation also.
Yeah. So you can't go wrong because you have them all.
Yep. That is a great pedal. Ben says, you can pull my MP1 from my cold, dead hands, Mark. Yeah, I'm not getting rid of mine either. Let's see. What's with my mouse? God.
Never owned one. Don't want one.
Marshall JMP1?
No. The MP1.
Oh, the MP1. Okay.
Isn't that what he said?
I thought he meant the JMP1.
No. MP1.
He did say the MP1. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the JMP1 is more my style. Tom and Lisa, thanks so much for the show, Mark. How is the EVH Iconic working out for you? I love it. I think it's a great amp. I think it sounds great.
Cheap.
Yeah, for the price. It's well made. I think James Brown hit it out of the ballpark. It's got some really nice bite. It's great distortion and very musical sounding feedback. I'm a fan. I like it. So, if I didn't have so many other amps, I probably would get the head also. I like it. I just think it's great. But you know, for the price, it's great. But yeah, I think James did a great job.
I think no more parking in your garage. You have to take over the whole garage.
My wife won't let me do that. Just joined part of the discussion.
Well, who pays for that house?
Oh, I pay for the house. Yes, I do. But she takes care of the house. So,
okay.
Like you said, okay. Just join the fun of the part of the discussion. I think the Mesa V-twin rack mount sounds better than most of the Mesa amps I played.
It probably does. I've never actually heard that, but yeah. I mean, the V-twin pedal sounded pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, I've looked at... I've always been intrigued by some of the Mesa rack mount stuff. I know...
I know someone that has a bunch.
Yeah, Torin's got a few. He's got a few. 22 hours until my Kiesel gets here. Counting down the minutes. Oh, well, cool. Enjoy it.
Cool.
Wait one second. Nuno made the MP1 sound better than most JMP1s.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Nuno definitely did a good job with it. That's another guy I'd like to get on this show. Love to get Nuno on here.
Yeah, like, sure.
I know you're not a huge fan of his, but I
don't like anything he ever did.
No,
not great. My thing, but that's okay. A lot of people do.
Yeah. Do you get an extra cut if I buy a Freeman amp from Sweetwater?
Oh, what we get, not an extra cut, but we get a cut.
Yeah, they would, sure. They would send us the affiliate payment.
Yeah.
So
absolutely, please do. Anyone that wants a Freedman amp, buy it from Sweetwater and use our link, please.
Yep. Dave, what are your thoughts on the VH4? Overrated?
VH4 is cool. I it's got its place. I tend to like older ones. I think they did something to the newer ones. It records extremely well, almost more like it records better than when you're sitting in front of it listening to it, if that makes sense. Channel 3 on it records incredibly well, but it's kind of a big, slow, big power chord kind of amp. If you're looking for fast attack, it doesn't so much have that.
I like the Synergy module of it.
It's cool. I mean, A VH4 is great. I've used them on recordings before. It's great.
John DeShane, how are you? Hey, guys. Dave, D500 or H9 for an all-in-one mod box?
You mean the MD500?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the MD500, so I would say that. I think all that stuff in there sounds really analog-y. They do a great job at emulating all their, you know, Boss choruses and different things. Trems are great. Univibe's great. Does various other things too. I think it does a pitch detune also, and it's really good.
Good stuff. Dave from Geesbury, do you polarity mark check your coupling caps?
Our coupling caps are already polarity marked, the synergy caps we use. So yes.
The blind sniper, Dave, from your own biased opinion, you can only choose one, your twin sister or the small box amp.
Small box. Well, both are good.
It's hard to choose.
That is a tough one. They kind of do different things, so that's why it's tough.
Yes, we knew you meant the MD500.
We figured it out.
Yes. Rex Granite. Hey, Dave, any issues phase grounding running 2 amps straight out of a halo?
No, well, yes, you'll have grounding issues, but because anytime you put 2 amps together, you have a ground loop. So you'd have to break that with a ground isolation transformer, like a Palmer ground isolation transformer or something like that. Or you could kind of cheat and do the cheating way and just put a ground lift on one of the amps, and that'll probably get you by. Although I won't say that that's the safest way in the world, but it's been done for years in the U.S. Can't do that in Europe, really. Yeah, so phase. Now, phase, if you run, depending on the amps you're running, they could be out of phase with each other, so there could be an issue there, too.
Scott says, Lyle's been super busy and his mom came to visit.
Okay.
We'll try again.
We'll get him on.
For Dave, I have to listen later, but just wanted to say I finally pulled the trigger on a JJ Jr. and you, sir, are a genius. Love the show. Oh, thanks, 3J.
Awesome. Music. Glad you like it.
And yes, make sure all 300 of you folks who are watching, please hit the like, hit subscribe, and click the bell, and make sure that you know when we're going to have our shows. I do post the shows in advance, so you can get that advance notice when the next shows are going to be coming up. So please do that. I do agree that the JJ Jr. is a sick amp. I've got one sitting. Where is it? Oh, it's. I've got to move my mic. There it is.
Yep.
There it is. See, it's just hidden.
The mic literally covers the whole amp.
It does. Yeah. But it's a great amp. I agree. Yeah, so we get a kickback. We buy, if anything buys anything, anybody buys anything from Sweetwater through the Tone Talk link. So it's a small little kickback. It doesn't affect your price at all, but it helps our channel, helps keep things going. Let's see. Stephen Fryette keeps giving Lyle shit for his cap replacement policy. I can imagine that's annoying. Is it?
Well, I mean, I understand both sides to the equation. There are sometimes caps from many years ago that are still perfectly good and measure perfectly good, with no degradation whatsoever. I'm somewhere between the two camps. So, I mean, I don't think, unless there's obvious problems, I don't think newer amps, maybe, you know, that were made in the last 30 years should necessarily have the caps replaced. Unless there's obvious problems or there are very cheap caps used that are obviously leaking or some things like that. Stevie has his opinions. Everyone has their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But he did try. I think there's a video you can watch on his channel where he took out his old concert Fender concert amp, and he does this whole thing about going through all the caps and checking them with a really good capacitance meter after he reformed the caps and bring them up. And you'd be surprised. You know, a lot of them are still good.
Hmm. So. And that's a 60s amp, you're saying? Yeah.
So I'm in between the two camps.
Gertho 1134, last question. Dave, you had mentioned on an old Ask Dave that there was tips, tricks, types of things to know about using your buffer bay. Something about using jacks on top of one another?
Yeah, sometimes the buffer bay, we used these stacked jacks, and there's a bunch of contacts on the bottom of the stacked jacks that, you know, are all the contacts for the two sets of jacks, and they're very close to each other on a PC board, or just the contacts in general are very close to each other. And occasionally, if, for instance, you go into a chain of pedals and come out of the chain of pedals through the jack that's on the top, which is through, I don't remember what through it is. Occasionally, you can get some oscillation if you really push a ton of level and overdrive through. So I try, when you're doing a board, I try to separate that a little bit on the buffer bay. So that won't happen. If I can ever figure out a good way to, a small way to eliminate that, I will. But I haven't really been able to do that.
Roger Dat, thank you for the super chat. The Freeman difference is in the squish. Most all modern boutique amps are too tight, which is great for tight percussive stuff, but less musical.
Yeah, I was always into like cranked up vintage amps, right? So cranked up vintage amp, when you smack it, it really has this kind of elastic rubber band kind of thing to it. And I kind of wanted to capture that in a non cranked up amp.
Well, you did a good job.
Has to feel good under the fingers.
Mm-hmm. Ferd Berfel. We need to get in with Rhett Schull on that Neve console. He's building a studio in his basement.
There we go.
All right. I'll text Rhett. Make sure you use our link, man. Steve Grinrod would be an interesting guest. I'm not sure who, I don't know who he is. Do you know
why
who
that do I know that name? I know that name. Oh, wait. I know that name. I just forgetting why I know that name.
Eric Bernstein, how close do you think an old Marshall Fender layout could be tweaked to get a Vox vibe? Tone stack alone? Thanks for the super chat.
Tone stack, well, no, not tone stack alone. Yeah, theoretically, you could make the whole front end of a Vox top boost amp in a Marshall. As it distorts, it will be a little different. For sure.
Okay. Alex Lawrence. Thanks, man. Hey, guys. Love the show. Thank you. Dave, have you ever worked on a Rivera Bonehead? Have one that don't want a let go, but not happy with the sound. Sounds stiff.
Years ago, I remember when they were developing the Bonehead. And they would bring it in. Oh, wait. No, sorry, that was the Knucklehead. Mm. Bonehead was the Lukather one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Have no idea. Never worked on one.
Alex C. Dave, I have an old ADA MP1 packed away that needs some help. Do you work on those, or who would you suggest?
Ooh, what kind of help? Those can be, if the software is corrupt or something like that, that they can be almost unfixable. Not something I'd want to do. Do I have a recommendation? Ooh. No, not really. I'm sure there's someone out there, though.
Rich, thanks for the super chat. Dave, I just got back from 42 Gear Street. Henning had a UA aux box in every room. It sounded amazing. Will I burn through tubes faster if I get one?
No. You won't burn through tubes faster. No. They work. And if you like how it sounds, great. Get one.
Yeah, they're cool.
It's a good unit.
I am waiting for them to do something more with it, though. I was hoping that they would update it or have like a updated software to it or anything like that, but I haven't seen anything like that. Peter Urban, what's up, Peter?
Hey, Peter.
Nice to see you guys live again. Thanks for keeping up with the show. Oh, you're going to have to kill me before we stop. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing it. So, sometimes it's like
Steve Grinrod from Marshall. Bruce chimed in. He designed Marshall amps. That's where I knew it from. I was going to say that, but I just didn't want to like blurt it out. In case I was wrong.
Let's see. From Brian Reed. Hey, Dave, I have a couple of shows in Europe next year. I need to travel uber light and can run 220 volts. Is running a Kemper into the effects loop of a BE Mini loud enough to hear over a drummer?
I wouldn't think so, but maybe. People's perception of what is loud enough for a drummer is, I find, is different. These days, everyone plays so quiet, you know. I think the stage volume should be at least as loud as the drummer, you know. So you're the only one that can decide that. You have to try it.
I'm not sure, Vinny. Did we talk about Dunkin' Donuts before on the show?
No.
I don't remember that, but maybe it's possible. Kevin K. Hey, guys, love the show. Wondering what modern TS... Oh, I thought we answered that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We said to get the JHS Banzai.
Yeah, it's cool. It has everything.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, L. Scott Music says he's an apple fritter guy, too.
Yeah.
Donut talk. Yes, wife buy-in is required. That is if you want to have a happy life. Let's see. Dave or Mark, can you go over what are all the main humbucker categories? For example, what are some of the other non-PAF categories?
I don't know what you mean by main humbucker categories. I mean, everything's sort of based on a PAF originally, and then they're just some are hotter and different magnets, and you know, some are ceramic magnets, some are Elnico 8, some are Elnico 5, Elnico 2, various heats from 7.5K to 16 or 18K. So categories, I'm not sure what categories would be. I mean, there's what they call PAF sort of categories, kind of medium gain categories and like high gain categories. I'm sure that didn't help at all.
Is Wolf's in Jupiter? Yeah, Wolf's Guitars is in It's in either in Jupiter or close to it. So yeah, it's about an hour and a half for me. And Vinny says it's just Richie, not the Winery Dogs or Smith and Cotson. That's who I was thinking of, Winery Dogs. Adam Arsenault. Dave, I'm looking to buy some new cables, and I'm curious what your preference is these days among common store bought brands.
I'm not one to really think you should spend a lot of money on cables. There's plenty of good cables that you don't have to spend a lot of money on. Store-bought brands. Now, that's a good question. I've been so far removed from store-bought brands for so long. I mean, I still like a good Proco cable if they still exist. DiMarzio cables were cool. Some of the Planet Waves cables were pretty cool. Those are all not like super expensive. I mean, you can go for a Mogami cable, which is a good, decent cable. You're going to pay spend a good amount of money for it. Good question. Very good question. There's an Intex brand of cables, which is a guy that makes a bunch of cable out of some Belden cable, which is really cool. Yeah, I don't know. Anything.
Okay. Fucker Assington. You got me to say that. Are the mini SS heads inspired by Marshall MOSFET models? No.
Not really, no. I mean, there just was an idea to make a cool little wood head box, little tiny, you know, toy amp, really, you know, practice amp thing. And they're pretty cool.
Is there the slightest chance Dave Grohl or Chris Novosek will come on the show? I know it's a long shot, but hey, maybe Jerry could do... I'm not sure what that is. Looking forward to the Jerry episode. Now, Grohl, if I think if this show were called Barbecue Talk, he would come on.
But yeah, I don't think Grohl's going to come on a gear show, from what I've been told. Chris would be great. Don't know about that.
Don't know him. And yes, Jerry will be coming on at some point.
Probably after their tour.
Yeah.
It's finished.
We've been in touch with his management.
Yep.
PRS 1986. Thank you. Hey guys, great show tonight. Dave, thanks again for helping me with my Wildwood 20. Cheers, Mateo. Oh, thanks. Do you remember helping him out?
Maybe.
Favorite smoke with scotch?
Don't smoke.
Hey, Dave, you had a PV Butcher there at your shop a bit back. Did you mod that amp? And if so, what did you do? Proud Butcher owner here.
All I did, the guy wanted a second master volume so they could just boost for leads. So that's all I did. So no, but it did sound good. It's an 800, you know.
Brian Beller is a guest. I'm not sure. I don't know who he is.
I don't either.
Is that a telly next to Dave?
Next to me?
I don't know.
Where? There's no guitar in the picture, is there?
No, not that I see.
No.
Hey, Dave, can a Cali be custom ordered with a decked Floyd? Not now.
Generally speaking, we were shipping the Calis with a trem stop. Mm-hmm. That's a good question if we still are. I'd have to look in the new cases. No, not right now. Ben can't put a trem stop in it.
Ben did a show on guitar insurance. Oh, I'm going to have to look into that, Ben.
There you go.
Yeah, homeowners and lots of pictures and documentation. Yeah. Blade Hudson. Hey, Mark, stopping by to say hey. Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for stopping in. Let me see where else, what else we got.
I'm looking to.
Any word on when the little sister will be released?
October. Mid-October.
And I'm getting one.
Where are you going to put it?
Oh, I'll find a place. That one, I'm definitely looking forward to getting. Nuno would be cool. Yes, he would be. Despite what Dave thinks.
I don't understand about all the fanfare.
You know. I think he's a great player. It's not like I listen to Extreme, though. But I think he's a great player. Stay curious. Dave, can you go over what... Oh, we already answered that.
You keep pulling the same ones up.
Am I pulling the same ones up? No. Also, will Jake be back for a sober round two?
Sober. What fun would that be?
I was going to say, why?
Maybe a more sober one. How about that?
More so, yes.
Maybe not quite as long. Yes, Jake wants to come back for another show, but he really wants to do it with someone else. So, if we can ever make that happen, it'll happen. And if not, I'll get him back somehow anyway.
From Vinny, Dave, Victory RK 50.
Maybe this time we'll do the Jake show from the Soul Belly Barbecue in Las Vegas.
That'd be loud, though.
Maybe we can do it like when they're
not as
winding crazy. Down.
Yeah.
Or something.
Okay. I'm up for anything. I'm up for anything. The Victory RK 50, would you go with a head or the combo? Aside from weight convenience, considerations of using a head, any benefit of going with that or any combo?
RK50 is Richard Kotzen. I did hear one of those amps. It sounded great, and it, I do believe, was a combo, but it did sound great. I worked on it for him.
Gavin T. EVH Bradshaw rig. I think he was changing heads every couple of songs. Any insight to share?
He wasn't changing every couple songs. I mean, it was designed where they could switch over to another head really easily. But he wasn't changing it, you know, every show or every even might, maybe not even in a show. So something happened to it, then it would get switched over.
Leather Wolf, thanks for the super chat. Thanks, guys. Love all the great advice. Best one of your amps to get, my Holy Grail Steve Clark High and Dry sound.
I mean, that always sounded sort of like a great old like JMP Marshall to me. As far as one of my amps, I mean, you're going to use a lot less gain.
Right.
You're going to crank it up loud and get, you know, and you use the gain structure on a lower setting on the amps, you know. A lot of the amps will do it.
I was thinking,
I mean, a B Deluxe would do it. A B50 would do it. Small Box probably would do something, although it doesn't have a gain structure switch. So something that has a gain structure switch, so you can set it to a lower setting, because those aren't, it's not very gainy at all. So there you go.
Dave Bryce wants to know, what's the Husansky cool count tonight? It's at least 25. I must have said it cool about 25 times.
How many times do you really should count how many times I say it depends? Every time I go to say that too, and I kind of like, okay, wait, how can I say this a different way?
So they want to know, what is the guitar that you test that's next to you?
It's a
Friedman
Cali prototype with a decked bridge and a non-fine tuner, no locking nut.
I was gonna say it's a not
locking tuners, and this neck is totally different. It's smaller, way smaller. Kind of unique. It's got bare knuckle pickups in it.
That's cool.
At least that guitar. And then I have a couple road worn Strats that I love. That Motor City pickup in it.
Rob, try Music Pro Insurance. That's cool. I'll write that down. Okay. Is Synergy HBE Deluxe still in the works?
It's done. It just has to be produced now. So I don't know where they are with the release of it.
T. Crane, Mark, glad you were not hurt in your car accident. Oh, thanks, man. That's a few months back now already. And my car was all fixed, thankfully. I use a Rev 740. 20 minutes for me with EVH 2x12s. Dave, did you ever have a client you couldn't please and ignored you? Jake and Warren DeMartini. Not sure what he's asking.
Did you ever have a client that you couldn't please and ignored you? I don't even know what that means. That I couldn't please. I mean, I don't, not really. Ignored me, not really.
And Jake
and Warren DeMartini, I'm not sure what this means.
Yeah, not definitely not those guys.
No.
Vinny, the donut fun. All right, thanks, bro. You just helped cover my my little feast I'm gonna have after the show. Thank you.
Just the thought of eating a bunch of donuts makes me kind of sick to my stomach right now.
I'm only going to have one. Joe Blow, Dave and Mark, I have a 71 Marshall 100. It hasn't been turned on for a few years. Should I use a Varac to warm it up? Great show from Australia.
Absolutely. Take it really slow with the Varac and let it just kind of come up very slowly.
Frank Quinn, have you guys had Andy Timmons on the show yet? Yes, we have.
We did, with Robert Keeley.
Last show, episode 123, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And it was epic.
Yeah, it was awesome. Donuts, if I eat more than two, will definitely make me sick. I can, yeah. And, well, it depends. Yes.
Well, it was always like when we were at the NAMM show before, and then and every year someone would bring these
those things
from Porto's, which were like these little apple turnover things that were all flaky with apple inside.
I could eat 10 of them.
And that happened regularly.
Yeah.
And then later in the day, you're just like, oh, I don't feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are so good. Those are so much better than Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, my God.
A lot of things are better than Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, I think we've hit all our questions. Thanks for joining us for another show, guys. Make sure you hit subscribe and thumbs up and all that stuff. Our next show is next Friday night with Bill Landry.
That should be fun.
Which that'll be cool. I actually met Bill on the previous show I used to do. We interviewed Bill on that show, but of course it's no longer up on the internet. So it'll be good to talk with him again. And I understand he makes great amps. So, yeah, so that's that. And then the next show we'll have, which I believe is October 8th, is Bjorn Juul, who was from Professor Pedals and now makes his own stuff. And he's like a real pedal genius.
Mm-hmm. He made amps too.
With Mad Professor.
Oh, with Mad Professor. Yeah. He's a mad genius.
Did not know that. I didn't know that he made amps also.
He is a character.
Yep. I love these Ask Dave episodes also. Yes. Thanks, John. Warren Haynes. Would love to have Warren Haynes.
I could probably make that happen because I know Jürgen, who plays bass for Government Mule.
Mm.
So, yeah, maybe. I could pursue that. That's a good one.
All right, you get the last question in, Chris Krueger. Who's currently building Freedman guitars?
Billy Rowe from Rock and Roll Relics.
With a little help from Grover.
With some help from Grover. Grover moved to Nashville and kind of semi-retired.
Should he start the Variac on 240 volts?
Well, we are in Australia?
I believe so.
No, you should start it on 0 volts. And then slowly come up.
Right. All right. Well, guys, have a great weekend. Watch some football. Go Dolphins. And check out Sweetwater and fixpedalboards.com.
Hey, someone said, do I make bass amps? Nope, not yet. Always kind of planned on maybe exploring that, but we'll see. Someone also asked real quick why I don't make slant cabinets. I'll tell you why. I generally like straight cabinets. That's why. No other reason other than that, although I would consider doing it in the future, maybe, if anyone cares. Hmm. So far, no one's really cared.
Who was the last guest that we had that said he likes it shooting up at his head? Was that Andy Timmons that said that?
A slant cab has its purpose, for sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Have a great night, guys.
All right, guys.
We'll see you next Friday. Enjoy.
Thank you. Bye.